It's time for another edition of the Gaming Gang Extra, Gen Con Raw, sponsored by our good friends at Victory Point Games. On this episode, we're joined by our pal Todd Rowland from Alderac Entertainment Group. Our Raw series features very little editing or audio modification in order to bring them to you within hours of being recorded on the Gen Con floor. Here are your hosts, Elliot Miller and Jeff McAleer. It is Saturday night in one of the gaming halls. We are at the AEG Big Gaming Night event. Unfortunately, we got here a little bit late, so it's dying down a little bit, but still, there are a lot of people. There's got to probably be, I don't know, I'm taking a wild guess, and I don't know how to count, about 150, 200 people still here.
I was thinking about 10,000.
10,000? 10,000, okay. Elliot says 10,000. I say maybe 150. Closer to my guess is my guess. But we do have Todd Rowland. He's taking some time out from helping people with events to talk about what's been going on at the big gaming event for AEG. How was tonight going so far?
I would say today went fantastic. We had around 300 people at last count, which was excellent. We had originally scheduled it for 250. And then it sold out, so we had enough swag bags for those folks, but then we allowed other people to come on in at a reduced rate. And they got to be in the raffles and the drawings and all the other stuff we were doing. They got to play all the games we had set up. They could jump in any of the tournaments we had. And everyone seemed to have a fantastic time. I was getting almost exclusively positive feedback. So we're quite happy with how the event went.
Fantastic. And you did release Ninja here at Gen Con. We recorded our podcast a little earlier today. We did make mention of that. A lot of people are playing it. As far as...
Yeah, how's the reaction to Ninja been?
Yeah. The reaction to Ninja has been really good. You know, we didn't have all the images and game shots and all that until fairly close to the show and the release of it. So it didn't get a whole lot of time to have pre-hype. But once people saw it on the board and began playing it here, it became a steady seller. We had released it on Friday morning, and we had a bit of a rush at the beginning. And then as the show's gone on, it's been constantly selling. And the booth has actually been almost impossible to get into because so many people have been sitting down to play the game. And we've had people who would come, check in, come back later, check in again, and still try to get in a game or two. So we've been very happy. We actually opened up more tables of Ninja to keep demoing, and we set up about 24 copies of it here tonight at the big gaming night. Nice. And they have been constantly occupied right up until now when people started to trickle out to things like the L5R bar crawl and things like that.
I thought it was interesting in the exhibitor area when we went over to chat with you before, off the record, you know, just saying hi. We went over to AEG booth, and there was a line just really long. One of the longest lines I've seen at any of the publishers here selling products. You had people who were just lining up to pick up tons of AEG stuff, and we thought that was so cool.
Yeah, we're very happy. You know, Nightfall seemed to explode this show for some reason. It's been great for us, but I don't know what happened, but we sold through. At this point, I believe we sold through all but four copies between Nightfall and Martial Law before this event. And so it's just been catching, and we've been extremely happy with how it's done. We have had a lot of interest in the L5R CCG, an incredible amount, actually. People at the booth, the demo guys were commenting at how many people had sat down so far over the course of the weekend who had never touched the game before, and they were so interested in it. We, of course, have a new edition coming up in November, Emperor Edition, and that's what we're pushing toward, and we have all this new product and new packaging, and people have just been going crazy about it. We had one guy who had never seen the game before coming to Gen Con. He came back to our booth three times over the course of Friday and ended up walking out with entire booster boxes at the end of the day. He got so excited about it. And while we haven't had people get quite that rabid the whole weekend, we have had a lot of people just instantly start buying up the decks after they played. So, you know, kudos to the guys on the L5R team because they've done a great job on turning that into a real premium product for fans who want to try that kind of game.
Let's take a quick minute to talk about what you just said, premium product. Ellie and I, during different reviews, especially we're talking about other different deck building games, so forth, Elliot always makes reference to whatever company it would be. I really wish they would take on the way that AEG provides storage for the cards. So right. that's one thing. He does. He always says this. We had the opportunity to see some of the premium packaging that you have available, especially for L5R. Why don't you mention a little bit about that? Because I think most people don't know about that.
Certainly. We began in L5R when we go from one art to another, one story to another, and which is technically one legality set to another. We usually do a rolling start where the last two expansions of the current arc are also legal for the next arc. So when we go into that point, we also go ahead and premiere the new look for the packaging. Now, in the past, it's been your standard cardboard starter deck, you know, and we just changed the look. This time we actually decided to physically change the packaging. And in that sense, when you get a store display, instead of just being a thin cardboard pop-up that you sit on the retailer counter, it's a very thick, firm cardboard box that they open up and then display, and folks buy the boosters out of them, they buy the starters out of them. And then when the actual point of purchase display is done, it is actually a divided card holder, similar in thickness and style to the boxes we do with Thunderstone and Nightfall, with the card divider in the middle. And what we've done with the design of the set is that each box has the design and art of a particular clan. So over the course of several expansions, every clan will have an exclusive little deck box, divided deck box, that they can store their cards in. Now, those are for the whole point of purchase display, so the store owner can give it to a loyal fan, run a tournament for it, sell it, I guess, if they wanted to, but we'd hope that...
I would hope not.
I would hope they would just give it out. But the point being, we're adding more usage to the whole package of the game rather than just being parts you would just throw away. With Emperor Edition itself, the actual store display carries 9 starter decks, because in the base set, we give a starter for every clan. Now, not only... For the first time, are the starter decks 100% pre-constructed? You don't have to change anything in them to make them playable. They come in a big store display that, when finished, when you remove all the decks from it, it has long dividers that you insert into the slots, and you end up with basically a 4-tray card holder with that's completely decorated because it was a store display that people can keep a larger collection in as they, you know, build their collection over the course of Emperor Edition. So, again, we tried to look at, you know, what are the things that generally are discarded that we could then produce better and turn into something players could use over the course of the long run of the set.
It's nice because now that's AEG's part towards recycling.
Exactly.
reduce, reuse, recycle.
I was actually just thinking along the same lines where was the decision as far as being a bit greener?
Well,
was that in... The decision process, or just like, oh, wow, hey, you know what? I just realized this.
I think, to be honest, it was more of a bonus in the fact that it was, you know, conservation and all that. The real driving factor for us was the customer and how can we give the player something that they'll enjoy. And the fact that it ended up turning into something that also is less wasteful is just a great bonus, you know. But we always try to let the customer experience lead our thought process in what we come up with.
Moving away from L5R, I know that a great many people in the gaming media have been hammering away at you about Nightfall. Mm-hmm. And it might have been the only thing they want to talk about, but we know you have a lot of other products out there. So we'll get to Nightfall in just a minute. Is there anything on the horizon that we can talk about that might be something brand new to AEG, or that's going to be a new expansion? We're not talking about Nightfall.
Right. Okay, not talking about Nightfall. In the expansion realm, we do have an expansion for Thunderstone coming later this year. It is called The Heart of Doom, and it includes a alternate scenario way of playing Thunderstone that emulates what you would, I guess you would consider the boss fight with the Doom, the thing that's been coming for all these Thunderstones you've been collecting. And it's a very cutthroat final battle where the cards that you're drawing, the cards you're building your deck within Thunderstone become even more important, especially in the hand you're going to need to try to take on Doom when he shows up.
Right.
Because he is very unforgiving to anyone. Well, let me put it this way. He doesn't run to the bottom of the deck if you fail against him. The results are much more dire if you fail against him.
Okay.
So it's an interesting way of playing Thunderstone. It kind of brings a really, you know, exciting climax To it, and it sets us up beautifully for what we have planned for 2012 with Thunderstone, which we think is really going to blow the minds of the really, you know, excited Thunderstone players who really enjoy it. We've got big things in mind. You know, we really believe they're going to love it. We really hope they're going to love it. I wish I could talk more about it, but it's so big in our minds what we're planning on doing with it that we can't actually talk about it yet until we're ready to show what we have in mind for Thunderstone.
And Elliot and I are both holding up $100 bills, tempting Todd to tell us yes, and he's shaking his head. So let's move over to the latest expansion coming out for Nightfall. And I'm surprised it took until Gen Con for it to really explode. I know it was doing really well, but I think all of a sudden now it's in people's consciousness. So we're talking about Blood Country is coming, and it is a completely different wrinkle to the game.
It is a completely different wrinkle to the game, not only in the product you're going to buy, but also in the theme and outlook of the game. In the product you're going to buy, we made a decision to reduce the box size. It's still a two-column box. Imagine the current Nightfall box, but basically cut it in half right down the middle. It's still a two-column box. It's a little bit smaller. It only has the starter. I mean, it does not have the starters and the wounds. That's what I'm trying to say. It only has the brand new cards, the draft.
So it is a true expansion.
It is a true expansion. It has the brand new cards, their draft cards, the dividers, a little bit of the foam blocks that everybody seems to like. And that's it. And we actually have a reduced price point for it, so it'll be easier for people to pick up as an expansion. Thematically, we've had a lot of fun with Nightfall. We like the punch you in the face, you know, creatures of the night. And we have taken the camera lens from the overall view of Nightfall to the urban view of martial law. And now we're going into the rural backwoods America for Blood Country, which is just... I love it. I mean, I think it's fantastic to see truckers fighting werewolves and trailer park girls as vampires and, you know, all those great things. We have a homage to Johnny Cash in there. We have the General Lee makes an appearance jumping a ditch in there. Or, well, okay, a orange Dodge Charger jumps a ditch in there attacking some vampires. So it's a fantastic, fun set. It adds a lot of new usage to your wounds based on their type. For instance, there is one action called Vampiric Turning, which when you play it, it simply says chain, destroy a minion. If you discard a bite wound, you may then bring that minion into play under your control until it's next discarded. So essentially the theme there being you've bitten them, you've turned them into a vampire, now they're yours to use as a minion. So we've tried to work in a lot of effects like that. There's another that you have some such effect, and then you discard a burn wound to destroy any ghoul in play. So you've lit the zombie on fire, right? And he runs, you know, he stumbles off all burning. So there's lots of different effects like that in Blood Country, and it's just a fun set all around. And we're very excited about that one, to get it on the market this October, which we think is a fantastic month for any Nightfall release.
Halloween, right?
That's the big time. My favorite time of the year.
I know a lot of people come to our website, they listen to the podcast. They're normally looking for board game information. We've branched out, everybody knows, more into RPGs and minis and things like that. We've been very, very impressed with the L5R role-playing system. We've done reviews of the core book and also the Emerald Empire. What else is on the horizon? I think you have a new book that's releasing, don't you?
We do actually have a new book that's releasing, The Great Clans, which is another large hardback tome. It has a chapter dedicated to every clan. It gets deeper into the clan personalities. It brings back the heritage tables, which were something that players loved from earlier editions. Basically, it allows you to roll on your character's history and find various honorable or dishonorable deeds your ancestors may have done that carry through to you. And players always really enjoyed those. It helps a lot in building the character. Great Clans is very much a player book. It's got a lot for the GMs too, but it really helps players flesh out their clan, samurai and shugenja and monks. The interesting thing about it was that in the past, back in first edition, we had little splat books called the Way of books. They were the Way of the Crane, the Way of the Crab, and people love those books. This is not reprinted material. This is new material, but it's essentially like taking a series like the Way of books and putting them all into one bound tome. So I think people are going to get a lot out of it. I'm really happy to hear that you guys have enjoyed it. It's definitely one of the more different RPGs out there, and the social aspects that it brings, the society and just the culture of that type of samurai setting. And so it's we admit it can be an RPG that can be a bit of a hurdle sometimes for some people to get into, but usually once they let themselves go in that type of setting, they find it can be one of the most rich experiences in role-playing you can have.
The way I had looked at it, and I mentioned some of it in the review too, is that L5R, the RPG, is really designed for the mature gamer, or especially a mature game master.
Yes.
Because this isn't, hey, it's a dungeon, everybody gets to have a free-for-all, we're killing stuff, we get the loot, and we're out. There's story behind it, there's consequences to actions, there's consequences to actions that players in a standard RPG wouldn't understand. Well, what do you mean I can't just tell the Lord to go stick it? Well, you know, it's not going to work in this one. That's why I appreciate the amount of work that's been done over the years on this system to perfect it, because those of us who've been in role-playing games and involved in them for a long time are really excited to see these kind of things on the market, because I'll be honest, I didn't realize they were out there.
Exactly. We've been really lucky with the many writers who've come through the door on that RPG, who've really put their heart into it, and they've just created such a wealth of information in the setting over the years. The fact that you can have a whole page dedicated to the hairstyles and how those hairstyles can actually mean things and, you know, sure, be very important in courtly settings is just fascinating, alongside, you know, the rules for dueling and having, you know, two guys square off and try to just slice each other in half, and how visceral that can be versus, sure, the very, you know, almost elegant and cerebral type court settings you can end up in, which can then result in those very, you know, vicious duels. Again, we've just been very lucky. We have another book planned for later this year called The Imperial Histories, which is actually a sort of an era's book. Every chapter is a different era in the Empire of Rokugan, so it gives a lot of different perspectives on the evolution of it as an empire. The very first chapter is the dawn of the empire, and you see what people were like before the Kami fell, before there was samurai culture, what these tribes were like and how they functioned and things like that. And then, of course, it has alternate settings like the Thousand Years of Darkness, which is our, you know, what if Fu Ling had won? Right. What would it be like living in this hell on earth? And, you know, what would an honorable samurai do in that situation? So,
if there were even any at that time.
There were a few at that time, actually. In the Thousand Years of Darkness what if setting, there were basically, you know, rebel groups of samurai who had hidden holdings in the mountains trying to fight back. Okay. While there were many of our established noble heroes who became pawns of evil and, you know, sold out to the other side. So it's a really neat sort of apocalyptic setting to try playing L5R in. We also actually have a setting in there called The Great Famine, which was a fan-submitted one. We held a contest. It was the most fleshed out, neatest setting that they came up with. It fit perfectly into a century that had never had anything written about it very much previously. So we were able to insert that, and it became an official part of the setting, where there was a number of years where there was a giant famine and the peasants created a serious uprising against the lords because they were not getting to keep their food and they were starving, and it was a very interesting one to play in. Of course, at the end of the chapter, it mentions how the Akoma historians and the Mia historians made sure that over the next generation, the imperial records never mentioned that uprising, and it was all but forgotten within about three generations, which, of course, the Empress was perfect, and nothing went wrong under her rule.
And when is Imperial Histories going to come out?
Imperial Histories is slated for quarter four of this year, so I would expect by the end of this year. It may possibly slip into quarter one of next year right now, but I still believe we're going to be getting it out before the end of this year.
Did the Great Clans release here at Gen Con?
The Great Clans did release here at Gen Con. We had it here Thursday. We sold out completely on Thursday. We had another shipment come in on Friday, and it sold out on Friday. So we had two entire shipments of the book sell immediately in both cases. So yes, we are sold out. We are quite happy with it. It's on its way to stores now, so players who were not at Gen Con can pick up their copy very soon.
And of course, as always, if anyone who's listening in wants to check out any of the AEG products, we always like to ask, what website would they go to?
The best website for them to go to would be www.alderac.com. From there, they'll find links to all of our various products, both new and old.
Fantastic. Todd, thanks for taking time out from the big gaming event night. I know you had a lot of things on your plate to sit here and talk to Elliot and I.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate having the time to talk to the gaming gang anytime I can.
There you have it. Thanks again to Todd for taking time to share with us all things AEG. And thanks to Victory Point Games, where the gameplay is the thing. Stay tuned for more Gen Con action, and be sure to join Elliot and I for our next regularly scheduled show.